What up, Z-Pack? I got one thing to say, and one thing only. Tom, Logan, and I, Logan and Tom, by the way, it's Friday. We went to Bocce Burger today in Las Vegas, where we had really cool Japanese-inspired hamburgers. Tom and my hamburger, we had the Miyagi-san. Mm-hmm. Tasted a little bit gamey. And by gamey, I mean like there was something rotten in there. But both of us being manly men's, ate it anyways.
It's that Wagyu beef. I'm not used to fancy beef. Z eats fancy beef, and I was like...
Tom assumed that it was just fancy beef taste. Like, oh, it tastes like rotten meat. That must be a fancy beef thing.
That must be what rich people eat.
Whereas I was thinking, the Wagyu's gone bad, but I'm going to eat it anyways because it's expensive. And now my belly hurts. And I was thinking of a great parody song, which is, baby, now we ate bad beef. But then I thought, that will get zero views. Anyway, so today, speaking of zero views, I want to talk about a lot of stuff. It's Friday Freakout. We got news articles. We got mad stuff to talk about. What?
This light is jacked, bro.
Unjack it.
There it is.
There it is.
We're
unjack
back.
My light. Say you'll fix it again. All right, guys, back to you. I want to talk about guy, dude, bro, CrossFit bro, nurse guy, who basically soda shamed a dying patient on Instagram. And the internet went batshit crazy. Should we roll this clip?
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
One day, you are gonna die. And the American medical system is set up to profit off of your suffering and your demise.
Nice quarter second subliminal at the end there, Logan.
No.
Listen, bro, do you think I go home to Starla over there? By dressing like Peter Pan over here, forget about it.
So that's a nurse, guy man bro nurse, and he became internet infamous for basically posting a picture of him with an elderly dying patient and a Coke that was at the patient's bedside, Coca-Cola. Not cocaine, Coca-Cola. Here's the picture, and we have blurred out his face because we have something called HIPAA that we care about. Now, let's read, I'm gonna read what he wrote here as far as we can see it, okay? This man, I'm gonna use his voice because we just heard his voice. So I'm gonna go full in, all right?
This man died with an at Coca-Cola next to his bed. Tom Heinemer, what is an at Coca-Cola, by the way?
I think he was just tagging Coca-Cola. It's a thing that happens on the internet. It's, anyway.
Are you net shaming me, bro?
Keep going.
Do you think I go home to Starla over there, being net shamed by Peter Pan over here? Forget about it!
Listen up, Rex.
Forget about it!
Do the story, man.
All right, the story. So let me go back. I gotta see this. There we go, all right. So, I'm gonna wait for it to show up on my iPad so I can read it properly, because it's so far away. Even with my 2010 vision, I can't see that. Here it is.
This man died with an at Coca-Cola next to his bed. This was days before he passed. His wife asked me to advocate for him. You see, what they don't tell you is that excess sugar is in our infant formula. It's in everything. They have us from birth to death. I have seen more people die with a Coca-Cola at their bedside than a Bible, bro. Why is it in hospitals? Essentially, sugar has become God. King, 80% of what we are dying from is completely reversible. They just treat it. We can end it. Hashtag. CrossFit.
Okay, guys.
By the way, we covered up his face because we have something called compassion.
Morals.
For people that are dying. Yeah, morals. But he's an elderly man. You know, he looked to be in his 70s or 80s, and I don't think it was going to be reversible. I can't fully air quote with my finger broken, but...
It's because you eat sugar, Tom. You know,
too much sugar, bro.
It's because of the sugar. That's
do you think? Do you think I wear a splint like that? How much sugar have I had in the last 10 years? Minus 10 kilos. I've actually excreted sugar from my pores. I'm that keto, bro.
Anyway, so the deal with this guy is, here he is, he kind of runs a CrossFit gym or something. He has some probable financial stake in some of this, at least from what I was reading. I don't know if it's
true. Yeah, well, he runs a CrossFit gym, and then CrossFit itself posted this image which is a, you know, they're a for-profit. He took it down on his CrossFit Gym's page, but the main CrossFit page kept it up. And he took it down for obvious reasons because it's completely tasteless.
I think he took it down because of something that we in the industry like to call shame. So he apparently got permission from the wife to, quote, advocate for this patient, which means he thought he was okay with HIPAA. Now, clearly he's at a hospital. This patient was dying, died a few days after the picture was taken, and he took a picture of this Coke to kind of instill in people this idea that what we eat and what we drink actually can kill us or save us. And this is a common idea. However, despite his intent to advocate, it came off as A, shilly for his own crap, B, entirely senselessly tasteless, and C, the dude is elderly and he's dying, let him have a damn Coke, right? So on every level, this was emotionally, tastelessly tone deaf, right? And it made me think, Tom, because what we do every day, we sit here and we curse and we rage and we do a lot of shit, but I think we're not tone deaf. We're not completely, we do it for a purpose. He's doing it for a purpose too, but he has no awareness that this might backfire or be inappropriate. And I see a lot of people in healthcare like that who just don't get that.
I think I have a modicum of compassion for CrossFit bro nurse guy, because to me this feels somewhat like a burnout story. Like, I bet you he's really burned out by the system. He's been seeing, you know, he hasn't been able to help his patients, et cetera, the same old story that we always hear. And what's he find? A magical hammer called CrossFit. And when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? So he sees a dying man with a Coke by the bedside. He's like,
should have done CrossFit.
You know, it's like, he's dying, man. And he probably is not dying for any condition related to sugar, unless he's an uncontrolled diabetic or something, type 2. Like, I doubt that's what that guy was dying of.
I think what you're actually saying is absolutely spot on, because if you look at any angle, so he's like a clearly like a low sugar, low carby kind of guy. The vegan crowd, the high carb, low protein, low fat crowd will do the same thing. They'll anchor on a certain idea and they'll look for everything to confirm their bias.
Right.
So if he had a bag of pork rinds that have been like, see, and they would have pork shamed him.
The vegans would have pork shamed him.
They would have mercilessly pork shamed him. They would have accused him of having sunken keto eyes, which I've been accused of, even though I'm not in ketosis.
They were like, yeah, Z, you look like a raccoon. So.
And they say it that way, raccoon. Exactly. and so this is not uncommon that we go for the confirmation. Now, is it professional? No. Is it ethical? Very borderline. Whether or not he got permission from the wife, this is a HIPAA violation waiting to happen if it hadn't happened already. And he is a covered entity and he can't do this. And
that's what they're all saying, is that he got permission from the wife. But you were explaining to me some of the more nuances of HIPAA, and you were like, even if you have permission, it has to kind of be in writing, doesn't it?
Yeah, you want to document that 20 different ways, and you probably want to talk to your risk management department at the hospital. And I hate to go through administrative hurdles to do stuff like this, but you have to. Because not only do you put yourself at risk, you put your entire institution at risk, and it's hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines if you screw up. We are exceedingly careful on the show about not violating HIPAA. Dr. Oz got screwed for this, remember? He on one of his reality shows, like New York Med or some crap, he accidentally showed a patient's room without their permission and the name and got in a lot of trouble, although probably got away because he's slimy like a snake.
That's right. And we, on this show, we try and never do anything that, you know, goes outside the bounds of good taste. Joe says, hey, Z-Dog, you will totally get me laid if you say hi to my RN fiance. Hook a brother up, bro.
Yeah, we don't do anything tasteless. Hi, RN fiance. Check it out. Joe is, you know. Bwah, 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 bwah.
Joe, you done already screwed up, though, because you didn't use her name, bro.
Yeah, you're just trying to get the generic, hey, he's talking about you, girl. It's like, what you are we talking about? By the way, I had a classmate in, I'm not going to talk about that because that is tasteless. That's violating HIPAA.
I feel like this is going to happen more and more, though, with smartphones and you know, people wanting to make a point using a dying patient or something like that, or like check out some dude's sweet genitals, apparently.
Listen to me carefully. Checking out dude's sweet genitals has been happening. And the most outrageous case recently was some nurses went down into the morgue to check out the the package of a deceased gentleman. And look, guys, this isn't even a gray area. It's not really a hard thing to figure out. That
although I do have to say that if this happens to me when I'm in the morgue, lead with that at the eulogy.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Lead. Yes. Just that's your opening salvo. Like, Tom's dick was so big, the nurses had to go check it out after he was dead.
Exactly. Yeah. I want them to play not the bagpipes, but the sack pipes at my funeral, because they're going to say, if all the penises I ever looked at in the morgue, his was the most
benign.
And then.
Stephanie says, as a fellow nurse, I can say that the dude is a serious douche canoe. The old man is dying. Let him enjoy a freaking Coke. You have no idea the life he's had.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
And
dude.
Also, you know, you've all been around dying patients, I'm sure. Like, 80-year-old women who are losing their life partner aren't making the greatest decisions. So even if you have permission from the wife, probably not a good idea still.
Can you imagine how that went down? Like,
hey, man, guy man dude over here is totally dying.
Yo, take a picture of me next to your dead husband. All right, I'm gonna hold up the Coke, okay? Yeah, it's something this guy would do. Wait, this guy pointed.
But, you know, what does Julia say? As a nurse who CrossFits, this guy is a douchebag tool. The founder of CrossFit has this weird obsessive crusade against Coke, based not in science, but fear. I know, cocaine is awesome. We should all embrace it, right? No, seriously, look, guys, everything in moderation, including moderation at times. But look, whether you're anti-sugar, anti-fat, anti-meat, anti-whatever, it can get obsessive, guys. Eat food that you like, that's sustainable, that's usually whole food, that isn't all processed, and that's probably the best guideline. And try to enjoy it with friends and be socially connected and have a sense of purpose in your life. And if you don't live forever, the time you live will be dope as fudge. You know what I'm saying?
Kristen said, when my grandpa was dying, he really wanted a beer. We let him have 2 beers a day.
It's dope.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
2 beers a day is not enough.
It's not enough.
No.
Yeah.
It's a beer Q1 hour, PRN.
Yeah.
No, actually, no. That's a standing order. And you with PRN for breakthrough angst. That's what it is at death, on the deathbed.
Katie says, oh my God, hashtag silent no more video crushes it.
Okay.
Tears.
Guys
sharing
and girls.
It like crazy town.
I guess we have to address the elephant in the room, which is we just released a video today that I'm going to pull up some comments that you guys left on that video, because it makes me happy to read your comments, because it makes me feel like we might have done a little bit of good in the universe by making this video. It's hard to watch. So we released a video today called Say Something, and the parenthetical is, we won't give up on you. And Tom really turned me on to the original song, which is Great Big World, initially sang it solo, this dude, you know, and he's very kind of vulnerable and, you know, say something, I won't give up on you. And we were like, dude, we need to, he was like, I'm giving up on you is the original. And we said, we need something to talk about healthcare worker violence and the Silent No More campaign. And both of us were like, that song, that's the song, we have to do it. And we planned. I had to learn how to sing it because it's hard to sing, and Devin had to coach me on how to sing it, and I had to like do these weird exercises that permanently damaged my larynx, and it was all worth it because it came together in this way. And initially we were planning to do it, like as a huge production in the hospital with vignettes acted out. And then we were sitting around planning how we were gonna fund this and looking at our Patreon account and going, people have been really kind and donated money to us, but it's not enough to fund a $40,000 video. What can we do for the money that we've raised via Patreon so far? And we said, how about this? We take the most poignant images and we make the video not about us. We're not in it. It's about this. And this is what we came up with. And we got Michelle Legrone, who's a psychiatrist out of Austin, Texas, reached out and was like, I'd love to collaborate anyway. I'm a singer. I said, can you please sing the harmony on this? And we put her harmonized version on YouTube, and it is amazing as well. So please watch the video. It's hard to watch. It's full of really graphic images that are all real. The headlines in there are real. A couple of images were submitted by nurses to me directly with permission to share, so that no one has ever seen them. The young nurse with the black eye towards the end, is a good example of that. And we're trying to give a voice to people who feel like they've not had a voice when dealing with violence with frontline healthcare providers. So hopefully it resonates with you guys. The point of making it is to share it with everybody. So send it to your congressman, send it to your administrators. I want everybody to see this and understand that this is a huge issue and it's not going away unless we do something collectively about it. First, you have to recognize it's a problem. What do you think, Tom Heinberg? Should we read some comments from them?
Well, I think like the whole point of why we wanted to do the video is you guys already know what's going on in healthcare, but we wanted it to go out and get shared and go through you so that people on your Facebook see it and be like, I didn't even know she dealt with that, you know, or like, I didn't know that this was a normal part of their job or their existence, and that normal people see it, and then suddenly we have more advocates, more allies than we had before. So that's really the whole reason why we did it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why we're so excited to see that so far it's been out for 5 hours. It has almost 10,000 shares and 310,000 views, and that's all you guys clicking share on that video. I just posted it on my website as well, the YouTube version and the Facebook version and a blurb and some links. And you can go there and share it too, zdogmd.com. I don't care how you share it. I just want you to share it. And if you think we've done bad with this, let us know. But the comments, what really makes me feel good that we might have done this the right way is the comments. So Veronica,
by the way, if you guys want to see the video, it is below this video on the main ZDogMD Facebook page. So
exactly,
you can see
right.
It there, or it's the duet version is on YouTube, so you can check that out also.
Absolutely, or zdogmd.com/say-something. Wow, ZDog, this hit me right in the feels and seems to have stirred up my allergies. The last time I was assaulted on the job was 6 days ago. Thank you for giving voice to this issue. That was Veronica Marzoni. And look, Michelle Arroyo writes in response to her, Veronica, I'm so sorry to hear this. Let me know how my group can help you. How are you doing? So
one of the craziest ones was there was a nurse who said that she took a WOW into a room where she wouldn't be bothered by a patient who was stalking her. And she was posting it right now in real time on the comments of the video. And then not only just that nurse, but like everybody had a story about being assaulted. And when we were putting together the video, we were putting together the statistics, and I told Z, 80% of healthcare workers will face violence in their lifetime. And he was like, is that right? It seems way too high. All the comments are like, that number seems way too
low. It's
low. It should be 100%. Like, who are we not counting? Who's not come forward, basically? So it's crazy. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, it's, guys, like, and the world doesn't understand this. Outside of healthcare, they just don't know. They have no idea the suffering that goes on and how we take it silently and do nothing. You know, thank you for bringing light to this issue, et cetera. And a lot of stories, I was caring for this patient in a manner consistent with my this many years of nursing, and this happened, and I'm not responsible for this patient's attack on me. And it, you know, again, they make it feel like it's our fault. And when we wrote those lyrics, when we designed those lyrics, Tom and I and Logan sat down very carefully to go, okay, how do we make it clear that when this lyrical piece corresponds with this image, that we're saying something? Like, I went in this for love, and as you hear love, you see this guy literally hitting somebody. And the paradox is right there in front of you, that we go in this for love, and yet we're treated like garbage, like less than humans.
We should say, too, on the broadcast that we talked about, like, doing a hopeful ending in the video, because there is a lot of advocacy going on, and a lot of people are starting to make groups online and speak out about it, and, like, it is starting to happen. But we wanted normal people to see how bad it is right now. So we just put the real stories out there. And when we saw it, and we're the people who put it together, when we saw it, we were like, oh my God, I'm like crying right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's hard to watch. And we had to put that warning in the beginning because, you know, we're just concerned that people who have been assaulted, who suffer from PTSD, would actually be triggered by the images in the video. So we wanted to make sure to give them enough warning if they decided to watch it or to decide not to watch it, right? But we want you guys to share it. We want you because they'll see the warning. And if they decide they don't want to watch it, they can make that decision. They're grown-ups and they can do that. So,
Brittany Davis says, it's not always the physical abuse either. There's always the anger, yelling, threats that you have to remain calm and try to resolve. So one of the stats from the video was 95% of healthcare workers will experience verbal as well as physical assaults during their career. So.
Yep, all true. And paramedics, so see, Terry Day says, as a paramedic, I've had a gun point blank to my head. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, what other job do you go in short of being in law enforcement or something or in the military where that would happen?
Do you remember that episode of ER when that happened?
Yeah.
The Dr. Green?
I think.
I remember being a little kid and watching that and just being like, who's this person that's pointing the gun at the doctor?
I know.
Are they crazy? He must be the most evil person.
And you know what? You're right.
Yeah. I was like, I was like 5 or 6 watching that and just being like, oh my God, this is crazy.
It's absolutely nuts, right? So we're really gratified again if you guys hit share on that. We'll talk more about this over the weekend. So other news, Tom. So we got Guy Manbro, who soda shamed this poor patient. I think we all agree that was a dumb move. He may not be a bad person and his heart may be in the right place, but he made a big mistake. And we should support his, if he's willing to come out and say, I made a mistake, we should support him, I think.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to publicly shame him. I'm the one who brought this story up to Z, because, you know, I check out the CrossFit Instagram. What's up, bros?
What's up, bros?
Anyway, I was like, hey, Z, we should talk about this, whatever. But I have a problem when people publicly shame people. Dude bro cares. Dude bro is just a little intense. And dude bro made kind of a bad decision, you know?
And it's guy man dude bro.
Guy man dude
bro.
Just
in case you were, you know, because we want to keep it accurate. Other news, Tom. What else is going on in the wide world of sports?
So let's see. There's a protest happening outside of a hospital right now in St. Louis.
Ah, yes.
My sources tell me, Z, that it's been having a... hold on, real quick. They've been having a hard time getting patients in because of the protest.
Really?
So, it's the hospital. Protesters marching in St. Louis right outside of Barnes Jewish Hospital.
Wash U, yeah.
Somebody sent me a couple photos from it, and you know, basically, it's another one of these Ferguson things where a white cop shot a black guy, and they let the cop off. So people are pissed, and they're in the streets. But the problem is that the she says my boyfriend's a firefighter here, and he said that his fire department was told to divert patients elsewhere because protesters are blocking the ambulance bay. There was a woman nearby in labor, and a local news station had a live feed trying to get her to the hospital. Let's just hope it doesn't get bigger and people don't get hurt. So, I mean, this is the problem with these protest movements when they happen in the freeway in front of the hospital.
Right.
You know,
the bikers used to shut down the roads in Northern Cal all the time. Like, hey, bike, don't drive.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm gonna come entirely clean with you guys.
Do it. Right?
I'm as liberal as the next guy in the Bay Area. I hate bikers. I hate them. I want to run them over.
Buy a big truck, Z.
Yeah, I want to buy a big F-150, F-250.
F-350.
Is there a 350?
There's a 350.
I want two of those.
Two of them.
I'm going to drive each one with 1 foot and ride it like Hercules into Troy and run over every single road biker that I can. Why? Because my elephant hates them. Because in the Bay Area in particular, if you even get a little bit too close to the bike lane, they will start banging on your car with fists hard. And I consider that assault. Even though I'm assaulting them with a 2,000-pound vehicle, that it doesn't matter to me. It's about me. Don't hate me, bikers. I'm just being real with you.
And
I
why
hate
you
got
to wear spandex? You're grown men. Like, what's wrong with
cyclists?
Cyclists. Yeah. And who are they sponsored by? They're always wearing these tight shirts, and you're like, it's got all these stickers on it, and you're like, is someone paying you to ride that bike? Because I don't think so.
Why does it say Kellogg's on you?
Like, they can get Kellogg's, but we can't.
You like Kellogg's? Like,
you know what? Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Because I'm powered by Coke. Yeah. well, you know, Barnes, a Jewish over there is, I think, associated with Wash U. And so it's a big academic center, really world-class hospital. So hopefully they can clear those guys out and get the patients in, because that's some not great planning of where to put your protest. I'm all for protesting, but don't mess with our ability to care for patients.
Summer Road says, wow, okay, run over bikers and generalize them. That's just what we do here, people.
Yeah, come on.
We put out a really great nurse, patient, hospital violence advocacy video, and then we talk about how we want to hurt people on the road.
Anyone in spandex.
Okay, let's just say this. I blew my compassion load on that video. We spent basically over a week really fine-tuning this, trying to get every emotional resonance right. And now, I just feel like I need to tell you, I want to run over every biker on the road, because there's an id side of my personality that has been suppressed trying to be compassionate for too long.
And no, you know, it's true, because I used to ride a bike for a while.
Oh, how dare you, Tom.
Yeah, and...
That's unacceptable.
It was actually a moped, but...
It's even worse, Tom.
There are only two kinds of people on the road, man. People who don't see you and people who are actively trying to kill you.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but suddenly you're on a moped and some guy's just like, hey, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
What the hell?
Yeah. I could die right now, guy. Yeah.
I mean,
this moped only goes 35 miles an hour.
I rode a bike all through college. That's all I had and in Berkeley. And I was hit probably 3 times by people who then got out. Okay, one time I was in Oakland. I was in a real seedy part of Oakland. And I was riding on my 10 speed with my backpack, a little Berkeley student. Oh my God, I'm studying molecular biology and music and I'm gonna change the world. Next thing I know, this woman pulls out right in front of me. I have the right of way and I go over the hood, bike is mangled. She gets out of the car and starts screaming at me. You dented my car! I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die now. And so I picked up my mangled bike like this and rubbed on my very sore neck and bleeding wounds and started walking back home in terror of my life. So again, I do have actually a lot of sympathy for bikers, but right now I just feel like running them all over. Is that wrong?
This show is way off the rails. Hannah says,
you're off the rails.
I don't condone violence on healthcare workers, but there was one time I almost lost my shit over my mom's doctor. She was diagnosed with cancer and we were in the doctor's office and he told her to quit smoking. My mom, an RN, told him she understood she needed to, but she wouldn't quit. Instead of moving on, this doctor would not let it go. He started berating my mom so badly, and we literally just walked out.
She probably should stop smoking.
Well,
of course she should stop smoking, but she knows that.
Yeah, I mean, that's cancer, not, that's so just like, bad, that's horrible bedside manner. I mean, it's right. Like guy, man, bro, soda shaming, homie. Like, some people might want to slap him. That's the wrong thing to do.
Hey, listen, right? There's not like one particular way to go through this life, right? Like you keep yourself in a hermetically sealed box and you're 90 and you know you die, that's great. But then some people want to Hunter S. Thompson this bitch and just like, just let the wheels fall off, man. So it's kind of your personal decision what you choose to do.
I've been tripping on acid since 4 p.m.
Carrie and wants to know if that lady threw a taco at you.
Did she throw a taco at me?
Yes.
No,
she
threw a tantrum at me. I didn't get an actual physical taco in the eye, but you mean the biker woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was bad. I'm still traumatized over that because I felt somehow like I was to blame and then I relived it and I'm like, no, definitely not my fault. And what I think happened, and all, if I'm being entirely compassionate, what happened was she was so horrified that she'd hit someone and she was worried financially that something might happen, that I might sue or something, that she was acting out of defense. And I understand that because I don't think she had a whole bunch of money.
Oh, Z, people are confused. We're not talking about motorcyclists. We're talking about people in spandex riding bikes.
Yeah, no.
Bikes are hella dope.
Bicycles, motorcycles, cool. give them the road.
That's totally. Right, and I'm a biker because we already established I have a moped.
Yeah. You have a Chinese-made moped.
It's a chow-chow.
Vicky yeah. says, I just watched the new video, Silent No More, with my 16-year-old who wants to be a trauma nurse, and it spoke volumes to both of us. Mm-hmm. All right, check it out. We put out a video like that for the people that are already in healthcare and dealing with this on a daily basis, right? But what if one of the Z pups comes to you and says, hey, I want to go into healthcare, and they see something like that?
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
I tell them, learn some damn kung fu, and then you can beat people down if they try to hurt you. Honestly, what I would tell them is, yeah, this is one of the hazards of working in healthcare, and if we get things right and we improve security and our general culture by the time you do this, hopefully this will be less of a risk. It's always a risk. But you do have to be aware and you do have to learn to defend yourself. And if your administration tells you you can't defend yourself, then you walk the hell out of there and go find a different job.
That's a lot of the comments on the
yeah.
video. There were
yeah.
a lot of comments that, to that effect. Like, you know, I warned the administration. I told them about this patient. I did all the necessary reporting. Then the patient attacked me and I defended myself.
Yeah.
Right? Effectively.
Yep.
And then I was reprimanded or I was disciplined or I was let go because I defended myself.
Yeah.
Because they expect me not to defend myself.
That's exactly right. You hear it all the time. And I don't know who these administrators are because a lot of the administrators that reach out to me are very supportive of their staff and do their best to kind of support. So, but the thing is when incentives, and we talked with Robbie Pearl the other week about how a system affects human perception and you get perception shift. So if the system pays you for patient satisfaction and to treat your hospital like a hotel, then even when the hotel guests are throwing TVs out of the windows, you still try to be nice to them and treat them like a customer. Well, in healthcare, that is a very dangerous path because what ends up happening is you kowtow to behavior that is absolutely reprehensible and wouldn't be tolerated anywhere. But without looking at the patient experience, you end up with doctors like the one in the commenter I described that are just clueless and are treating patients like crap. So we have to look at all those sides. We have to actually be fair and balanced when you try to solve that problem.
Speaking of which, Summer wants to know how your bedside manner is. He sings. It's the worst.
It's yeah. I come in and someone, you know, it'll be like a 95-year-old woman, and the nurse will tell me she's not eating her medications and she's being really non-compliant and this and that. And you know, I go in there and I go, Mrs. Witherspoon, just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. And then she punches me in the face because that's what agitated, demented, delirious older folks do when you sing anything from Mary Poppins.
Kathy says, I went to see a doctor as I walk in when I was sick, and he spent the entire time telling me that I was fat and I needed to be sent to a fat jail. Is that accurate, Kathy?
Amazing.
What?
I had the flu, which had nothing to do with my weight, was furious at this general care doc. Well, yeah, that's not a nice thing to say. So, and we don't have fat jails here in America, not in this day and age.
Yeah, but maybe we should, because if we did, I would go just to volunteer to be a warden, because I like hanging out with people who are slightly overweight, because mostly that's me. Here's the thing. Fat shaming, and we've talked about this before, doesn't work. Being honest with our patients does work. Fat shaming doesn't work, and this has come up time and time again. Blaming every illness on being overweight is probably not a good way to motivate your patients to actually change their behavior. And you have to actually work with them and go, what are your goals? And you don't think they know they're overweight? They know they're overweight. Now, they may be in denial that that bit of overweightedness is affecting their knee that's now causing them to need a knee replacement or causing osteoarthritis. And you can gently kind of guide through that process, right? And say, you know, there's some data that even taking off a couple pounds on a regular basis, it's like putting a big heavy stack of books down, it's gonna put less stress on your joints. So let's figure out a way that's sustainable that you can do that. And that means eating absolutely zero carbohydrates, 90% fat, and burning ketones for a living, because that to me is a moderate diet. That's what some people actually believe. Yeah, cray cray. By the way, Tom, weren't you trying to go into ketosis a while back, and then I took you to Bocce Burger and we had hella bread?
Yeah, like, you want any hamburgers? And I'm like, hell yeah.
You know
so,
what?
No ketosis for Tom.
You know what? Your fat jail parole is about up.
Yeah.
Because they're going to send you right back.
Okay? That's right.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
And Logan's going to berate you for your non-adherence. We don't use non-compliance anymore, apparently.
Yeah, you know, I sit down on the show so people think I'm fat. I'm not fat, bros. All right? Come on.
What's up? You like this? Come on, take it to the gun show. Z-Dog, show him your guns.
I have no guns.
Tad, show him your guns.
Tad, look, you want to see ripped? Let's go to the Tad cam. Look at that. So chiseled. I tell you, like, sometimes I go home and I have dreams about how chiseled up Tad, what?
What?
Let's go to another comment. I love really old people, says Alyssa Sellers. They make all the rules and set the tone. If they want something and get it, and if they don't want something, they can refuse. It's so fun watching everyone bow down to them. I love it. I don't know if she's being sarcastic or truthful, but it is a fact sometimes. But then sometimes we really abuse our elders. I mean, look at what happened in Florida with the nursing home and everything there. So in this country, we treat our old people like crap. 100%.
Where's your glasses, Z?
Oh, my transition lenses?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, so what did you... We were talking about this. So we did a show with Transitions Optical at the big Vision Expo West at on the Strip at the Sands Convention Center. And Tom and these guys came and we shot this video of me getting my first eye exam. And we're like, nobody's going to watch this. Nobody cares about, you know, eyes, even though they're so important. It gets a ton of views and a ton of shares. And most of the comments are people eye shaming me. So they're like, wait, you're 44 and you've never had an eye exam? And I'm like, my eyes are good. I'm 2015 vision. And they're like, oh, so now you're trying to eye shame us with your perfect vision? Well, you shut up. First of all, you should have gotten an exam because you could have found glaucoma. You could have found problems in the retina that could point to systemic disease, et cetera. And I'm like, whatever. But it was fun. And I want your feedback, guys, because Transition supported that episode. And we were really excited because it allows us to do what we do. And they're aligned because they care about people's eye health and that sort of thing. And yeah, they're trying to sell eyeglasses. Was it too shilly to show up there and get tried on for eyeglasses and look like Lisa Loeb for a bit? Or was it not shilly enough? If you think we're not shilly enough, we'll go full shill. We can go full Oz. Don't even get me started. It just takes a second.
Sergio says, hey, in other news, did you hear that Pharma Bro, Martin Trucchelli or whatever, got sent to jail early without bail?
Yep. You know why?
Another great news in healthcare. I do know why. Because he offered what was it, $5,000 for every single one of the hairs you can pluck out of Hillary Clinton's head?
Yep. On her he said it has to have a follicle. Like, it can't just be a hair. It has to have a follicle. You have to have plucked it during her book tour. Now, part of me admires that because it's like, man, I'd love to have somebody, you know, there's a long list of people whose hair I would love, mainly to create a really creepy kind of serial killer toupee made out of other people's hair. By the way, did I ever tell you about my medical device idea?
No.
The pupae. It's a pubic hair toupee because it's the richest, thickest, most lush hair on the body.
So it's a Jerry curl, basically. It's a Jerry curl wig.
It's a perm. Mm. Yeah, it's a perm. And they're often split ends. Anyways.
Rachel says, have you seen What the Health on Netflix? Have we seen it?
Go to zdogmd.com/what-the-health and watch the fun. And especially go to YouTube and read the comments on our video.
Yeah, we were the first people to let the internet know how stupid it was.
Yeah.
It's really
stupid. Actually, you guys want to, okay, I got to turn to the main cam because this is important. You guys want to know how the reach of this show that you guys make possible? So we put out the a real doctor watches What the Health, and it's me sitting right here at this table watching this horrible documentary on Netflix with basically vegan propaganda. And I even disclaimed it by saying, I really like the idea of a plant-based diet. It can help a lot of people. The Dean Ornish approach can work. That's great. It doesn't work for me because I hate plants. I hate them. I can't eat them. I hate them. I like eating dead animals and lots of fat, but that's just me. I watch a thing, I rip the science a new one, the doctors on there are total dimwits, and I'm just like, what is going on? So we put it out, and all of a sudden, the internet goes insane, and then there are big articles in places like Vox and bigger press pieces saying, this documentary is bullshit, and here's all the reasons why, and they're all the reasons we gave. So it made us feel like, wow, we were actually ahead of the curve on something that in popular culture beyond even just the medical community. And it made us think we need to do more with this platform than just say drop F-bombs and talk about how incredibly tight Taz butt is.
And it made me think that my common sense was supremely intact because I watched that video as a non-medical person was like, this is a load of horseshit and it's the dumbest documentary I've ever seen.
It was a steaming pile of freaking dung. Like, there were like, and there were parts in there that I agreed, you know, like the standard American diet is total horseshit. It's gonna kill you. We medicalize stuff so much, but we don't look at diet, nutrition, and lifestyle as a possible prevention and cure. True, absolutely. But the kind of crap, oh my God, that they were saying, you just wanna just clown punch somebody.
By the way, because of yesterday's mobile episode with the tall doctor, everybody wants to know how tall you are.
Everybody thinks I'm like Tyrion Lannister. Like I'm a little person. So I am 5'5", which is stunningly tall in Japan.
And Mars.
And Mars.
Yeah.
Nowhere else.
That's right, there's no organisms on Mars. So no, if Z was on Mars, he'd be the tallest person on Mars. So.
How's it feel being the tallest motherfucker on Mars? Oh, it feels good. Feels good, Tom Heineberg. Feels real good.
No, but
he looks so tall compared to me.
Dr. Court was about 6'7", because I'm about 6'3", and he was taller than I was. So.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
And literally, so it looked like, I'm like, I represent the Lollipop Guild, and I hope to welcome you to Vegas land. I mean, that's what it looked like. But no.
Colonoscopy next-y? That's what Stephanie wants.
Oh! So here's the reason I won't get a colonoscopy live because
you get a live colon cam.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
Logan,
too far.
Logan's running the board. Switch to the colo cam, and it's just stool because my prep is so poor. No, the reason I don't do it is Dr. Oz did it, and I can't do anything that Dr. Oz has done. It's just not okay. And they put in a bunch of drama, so like they're going through his colon, and then they play the dramatical music, dun dun dun. What is this? And it turns out it was just mucus. But they thought it was cancer.
Leslie says, you look like a midget next to Dr. Court. It's called little person. He looked like a little person next to Dr. Court. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You look like a little person next to Dr. Court. Melanie. Melanoma. Melana. Yeah, I do. I'm a short guy. I'm not going to lie. And I love it. When I get on planes, I'm like, this is dope.
What do you say? You want to wrap it up?
No.
All right, never mind then.
Yeah, I do. So, guys, hit share on this video. Hit share on the Say Something video. Spread the word about the Silent No More campaign. And Stay safe out there if you're working out there. If you are in healthcare, don't be a douchebag and post pictures of your patients with a Coke. Mm-hmm. It's not smart. We're trying to be show compassion and model. And when we behave like this, patients have more excuses to punch, beat, and scratch at us because they think we're dimwits. And we can't be that way. That's all I got, Tom Heineberg. What do you got?
I just got a message for Logan here. My wife says if you post one more picture of your BMW on Instagram, she's going to unfriend you.
YOLO!
So, there's that.
Logan got a used BMW for like $6,000 because we're teaching him about money, and he's like, oh, so I could sell my Jeep and actually get a much cheaper car that's doper? I'm like, that's the free market for you. And he did, and it is pretty dope.
It's dope.
We rolled around in it today. It was awesome.
It's going to break down any
it's
day.
It's totally going to break down because it's a Beamer. And then you're going to have to talk to Hans of the Seven Isles, who's going to repair it for you. Ah, yes, it's very easy. Only $17,000 for a new transmission of doinks. And you're like, that doesn't exist. It exists in Germany, yeah. Anyways, guys, I think we're out. Have a great weekend. I'll see you this weekend with Incident Report Mobile. And we out.
Bye. I love you guys.
Go. That's the birthday. Huh? I am not a little person.